woke up this morning and I said, you know, instead of waiting for a good day to happen, you know, waiting around through ups and downs, you know, I just said, look.
Good morning and welcome to The Conversation. Yeah, nice bit of music that has some relevance to what we're going to talk about in a little bit, but also just the fact that it sounds good and makes you feel good, too.
Feeling all this pressure to have a good day now.
Oh, poor you. Poor you, Chris.
We'll try. We'll do our best, right?
We will.
With grit on our side.
Oh, very good. Nice segue. Good morning and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. And as Chris Vandercook just mentioned, the word grit, well, let's talk about that for a moment. It's often defined as the resolve to work hard and postpone gratification to get a job done. It's also one of the desired outcomes of character education. But can the school really teach grit? Despite curriculum that professes to up the grit quotient, some recent research says it just can't be taught, and that has national policy implications as so many schools are adopting it. Our resident social scientist, Neil Milner, has had a look, and he's back now with a long view, a perspective on character education. Good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning. That sounded like a combination of Sesame Street and funk, and I suppose that kind of uplifting is really a part of this sort of soft skills that you're trying to teach kids.
Right. So can you really teach this kind of stuff? I mean, these are the things that parents say that they want. They want their kids to be able to work hard and to focus and to see desired outcomes as being worthy of the time that they need to put into them. But can that kind of real grit be taught? Or are we talking about this, the skills that lead to great academic performance? Is there a shade of difference there?
Well, here's the thing, and we talked about grit a little bit before. It's pretty clear that characteristics that have got lumped together in terms of grit, which are perseverance, task orientation, the willingness to postpone gratification, to work toward a goal and to stick to the goal, there's been a number of studies that have shown that those kinds of things are related to later success in life, regardless of other kinds of factors. That is, these seem to overcome some of the obstacles in other ways to academic skills, and these sorts of things seem to be effective. So we know that, but there's a difference between knowing that those are important and being able to teach them to people who don't have them. And what's happened right now is that, for reasons we'll get to later, more and more schools have attempted to teach grit, while some of the research has shown pretty clearly that grit may be good, but that you can't really teach it, and that, in fact, trying to teach it has opportunity costs. That is, it takes teachers away from things that they could do better instead of trying to teach something that they can't do.
So let's talk about some of that research. You're talking about what Grover Whitehurst of the Brookings Institution Center for Children and Families has said about this. It came out not that long ago, but a little earlier this year. As you've looked at that, what were the key points that we should know?
Here are the key points, and Whitehurst has been a skeptic about this for a while. The key points, based on some recent research, the first one, which is really pretty important, is that grit is inherited. That is, if you look at, they do classic kind of studies with twins, the difference between fraternal twins and identical twins. Long story short, this research shows that, first of all, that it's an inherited trait and that home environment doesn't really make that much difference. So the first thing to say is, if it's part of, let's call it personality, you can't really teach that. It's an inherited kind of factor. The second point he makes is that even places that have tried to teach this, that have had a very clear goal for character education, have not really succeeded in teaching it, but yet the academic scores and success scores have gone up. And he looks at one of the most successful charter school programs in the country, which is KIPP. And KIPP has a very strong character education thing, and the KIPP did a very careful study of this, and they showed, you know what, we didn't change character, we didn't change these kind of grit scores at all, but our academic scores went up. And what
why?
Well, probably because they do other things very well. Their teachers are dedicated to task. There are very clear goals. There's a constant attempt to look at these things.
So you're talking about the modeling
behavior. Well, you're talking about the same kind of thing we talked about in another segment when we talked about how hard it is for charter schools to work and what makes them work. And some of them is this very kind of thing. The third thing that he says is if you spend your time trying to teach this, you're essentially taking teachers away from other things that they're better at and that seem to be able to do some of the same things that you're trying to get out of GRIT. You teach study skills, you teach other things. What's important about this is not simply an academic argument, because schools are now using the ability to teach GRIT as part of teacher accountability measures. That is, you know, you have these teacher evaluation things that are becoming more a mandatory part of school systems with the federal government. And there it turns out that some of them are using the ability to change GRIT levels as a one measure of teacher accountability. And he said, that's not fair. It's not a valid measure.
Even under the Elementary and Secondary Education Act and the changes that we've seen where the states are going to get a little bit more control over all of that, there's still this push to be able to have GRIT included in the curriculum. But is that trying to put a different name on something that a lot of parents and schools say, you know, we've lost the ability to be able to focus and kids have fragmented attention, all those kinds of things? Is this just trying to rename it? Or are we really talking about something that's fundamentally different?
Well, you're not necessarily talking about something that's fundamentally different, but you're talking about trying specifically to change the GRIT measures, mm-hmm. you're probably taking people away from trying to do other things that folks want. Look, the idea of GRIT is a very important idea. Parents love it. We all do. It's essentially teaching people to be task-oriented, to think about things in the long term and so on. The federal legislation does give the states a little bit more control. This is the recent Obama attempt to kind of lighten up on evaluation.
ESSA.
Right. But it does require that some kind of soft skill be one of the measures that you use. It doesn't have to be GRIT, but the schools are adopting it because it's a way of getting at it. The political pressure is not necessarily to adopt this kind of GRIT education, but because it's become sort of faddish, schools have jumped on the bandwagon. And what Whitehurst research suggests is, hey, wait a second here. You're being unfair to the teachers, and you have to look for other ways to measure soft skill success. And that's where he gets into the other things about effective teaching.
So if we're looking at how you change effective teaching to be able to bring those soft skills into the academic arena without necessarily saying we're going to teach GRIT, and yet you have a political structure that is pushing GRIT because people are sort of harkening back to the old days when you were supposed to have GRIT, where does this leave the majority of American schools?
It leaves them in the terrible political position that they tend to find themselves. We tend to use schools and education as a kind of receptacle for our hopes and dreams and for our anxieties. And this is not the first time. It's really, as far as I'm concerned, part of educational reform, where schools have to do certain kinds of things for political and social reasons as much as anything else. And so you have this kind of pressure to change. I mean, schools are, let's face it, schools are so much a part of the culture, it's not surprisingly that politics gets involved there. But what I think we should learn from this kind of research is that hard, soft, whatever else, what the research suggests is that a lot of these kinds of things are very kind of concrete educational that you can do. You don't have to worry about so much changing the grittiness as much as rewarding people for doing good work, trying to teach discipline. All of those things are old-fashioned. They're teachable, but of course, on the other hand, they're very hard, or we wouldn't be where we are right now.
All right. Thanks very much.
Sure.
Nice to have you back.
Thank you.
Neil Milner is the contributing editor of our biweekly segment, The Long View. He'll be back with us in 2 weeks.